Just like the Cougar football team, Ben Criddle was built, not born. And since 2009, he's built himself into the go-to source on the radio and online for all things BYU. This is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle on ESPN 960 and ESPN960Sports.com.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com studios. Stop living with ED, live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. Little Elton John bringing us back from the break. Sean Walker, did you choose this or did Bryce choose this?
I think it was a mutual decision.
It was a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
Band of the day, always brought to you by
Goodbye,
Royal Army.
Yellow Brick Road.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Brought to you by RoyalArmyBrand.com. BYU swagger to buy fans for fans. Stay loyal to the Royal. Rep the Y the right way. Purchase all your BYU licensed apparel at RoyalArmyBrand.com. Always imitated, never replicated. Royal Army Brand. Look good, feel good, play good in the best BYU licensed apparel in the business. Let's get out to the hotline. Welcome in former BYU great, the luscious-haired lefty, the slinging southpaw. We got Riley Nelson on the line. What's up, Riley?
Hey, Ben. Glad to be on.
Hey, always a pleasure, always a blessing having you on the airwaves. You dropped the bomb on us, okay? You dropped a bomb on me? Who sings that? You dropped the bomb on me. It's not Roger and Zap.
You dropped the ball?
I dropped the ball. Who sings you dropped a bomb on?
ABBA.
Is it?
ABBA.
You dropped,
no,
you dropped the bomb on me. Dead.
By the
it's the Gap Band. The Gap Band. You dropped the bomb on us today, Riley Nelson. The Gap Band. There's a gap that needs to be filled now. A massive gap. You're leaving the media booth. You're retiring from the media booth after how many years now? 4 years?
Four seasons, yep.
Wow. So you had 4 years of eligibility. You didn't redshirt. You just went right into it,
straight
maximized
through.
It, and now you're graduating, bigger and better things. Tell us a little bit about why. Give us some background into what went into this this decision.
Yeah, when I started, I had a 10-month-old son who didn't know anything about football, and now he's 5, and went to a couple Cougar games, and wanted to tell me about all his favorite players and ask me questions. He wanted to talk plenty about Cosmo, too, Ben, I can't be having, and by the way, he's not the only. I got another one that's 3, and then I got another one coming in April.
Nice.
I can't have these guys, getting baptized or starting school, not knowing the difference between a left tackle and a punter, not being angry when a quarterback takes a drop back on a third down in field goal range at like the 24, and then gets sacked, kicking a 32-yard attempt back to a 45-yard attempt, giving up basically 3 points on the game. I can't raise a household full of boys where they're not learning the game to the degree. And the unfortunate thing about how great that gig was that I was so privileged to do for 4 years is that the booth ain't big enough to let your sons in there, and also they can't stay quiet enough and all that stuff. So I mean that was a big contributing factor. But no, like what happens with all of us is, life kind of rolls on, and there just become increasing demands on your time from every angle. And when I looked for places to let some of the air out, unfortunately, wearing the headset alongside Greg and the rest of the crew was what I had to give up. And it pains me to say it even now.
Yeah, it's tough, man. No, I was telling you earlier this week, like my idyllic situation – and like work would be to always have my family there with me, right? How awesome would that be if they were? I kind of envy to a degree those that grow up on farms because they're always working together as a family. Does that make sense? Like they're always at work together, and you accomplish so much and you build such rapport with your teammates and your family when you're accomplishing things together, right? Like I love that.
Well, let me tell you how I grew up, right,
yeah.
Dad, former Aggie football player, right?
Yeah.
Great high school player, delivered Logan High their first state championship, gets a scholarship, goes up, plays for the Aggies, breaks his foot his freshman year, and then goes on a mission, comes back. He leaves running like a 4.5, 4.6-ish, comes back running a 4.8 and is kind of relegated to, as he called it, like the meat squad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of dad's experience. But he comes back as an alma mater, like I did, but in a different capacity. Goes through, becomes an orthopedic surgeon,
yep.
finishes his surgical residency down in Southern California, and we move back to Logan, and he gets the gig as the team orthopedic surgeon. And so when you talk about doing it as a family, so dad went to every game, but because I got the good fortune of being the oldest, and because I was very well behaved and followed instructions, I was on the sideline at the Aggie games, you
that
know,
is
with
awesome.
My dad on every single game growing up. And he didn't take me to all the away games, but I went to two or three going up. You know, he had to travel with the team, but I'd go to two or three of them a year. But he was there. He got to teach me the game. He was working. He was doing something like I did, giving back to the alma mater, you know, fulfilling it, staying close to the dream and the game that he loved so much at the place that he loved so much, and was able to share that with me and my brothers. And unfortunately, like we said, like the booth doesn't give that opportunity. So for me, that being raised that way and the game itself and being able to learn the game from my dad is something that I want to keep within the Nelson family tradition. And like I started off the interview saying, my boys are getting old enough that and bless yeah. their mom's heart, right? My mom, my wife, she lugs them down there. She does them all, but like she couldn't tell you, you know, why when you want to go to hurry up, you know, if you're down a score in the second quarter and they're giving you free access, why you want to go into hurry up? She just can't answer those questions, bless her heart. So they need their daddy there, you know, bringing them up and along. And that, so that was so formative for me. If the opportunity presents itself, obviously, you know, I won't be on the sideline like a dog, but at least sitting there in the stands with the rest of Cougar Nation, with my boys and really with all my family is something that really outweighs it for me than the grand pleasure and privilege that is to be sharing the game on the airwaves with all of Cougar Nation. It was just kind of a gig of intake. And I say that, just some other logistical things for anybody who cares, right? I have a job that requires quite a bit of travel. It's not big travel. Most of it's regionally here in the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my falls, and it's only six. It's really not that bad, right? It's six and then a bowl game. But for me, you know, I had 3 weeks this fall where, you know, I was to Phoenix for like a Monday, Tuesday. Then, you know, I was Denver for a Thursday day trip. And I'd get back and Friday I'd hop on a plane and go to the game. And, well, you know, and unfortunately, you know, my responsibilities to my employer and my chosen career is probably going to demand more and more of that over time. And anyway, I better stop because I get rambling trying to, like, talk myself out of the decision that I've already made. But the deed is done, and I'll live with it. And the great thing is I get to be a part of Cougar Nation just as a fan now, like all the rest of us.
Yep.
Well, Riley, we're going to miss you in the media booth a ton. And as somebody who's kind of seen, I covered both your last couple of years at BYU and then into your transition into the booth. I've got to say, like, you have done a very good job of transitioning from being a player to a former player to kind of that media member. And not everybody does it. Like, it's really, really tough to kind of take off the former player hat while you're broadcasting and while you're doing color and kind of put on that media hat, that analyst hat, sort of take a step back and, you know, don't let fans go all the way over the edge, live and die on both plays. So I definitely, like, I want to compliment you on that. But then also ask you, and maybe you can ramble with some memories or whatnot about this a little bit. This will give you an opportunity for that. Just what have you learned during the last couple of years, the last 4 years in the radio booth, just about football, about the game, about maybe being a better fan, like that kind of thing? What has this experience kind of taught you, sort of the number one thing?
Yeah. Well, when you're back in it and day-to-day, I'll admit, like, I felt closer to as part of the program than I did as part of the fan base, but it was awesome to sit in there. But being a former player, I lended more myself towards, like, not going into the panic or allowing yourself to experience the wild swings of emotion that most fans do with their team. But the other thing that I did is, like, when you are part of the caravan, you know, like, you're not really given space to criticize or to question or to do some of those things, but that is part of being a fan. And here's what I learned, and here's what I'd encourage fan base to do is, like, you can be critical and you can ask questions, you just can never, I don't believe it's ever appropriate. This belief was cemented to me and something that I learned. You never cross over into, personal attacks mm-hmm. on people. You don't let your emotions go so much that you cross that line. And then yep. the second thing is, everyone should be careful out there. And this goes for sports, but also politics, religion, anything. Like, be careful speaking about things that you know little to nothing about, right? I felt like I could speak very authoritatively about quarterback play, and then kind of as you come down, overall offensive strategy, because I was very mm-hmm. involved with my coordinators and game planning and the execution, things like that. But, like, if we're talking about why exactly a guy got beat or why they chose, this certain protection over another, I get less and less confident. And then you go over onto the defensive side of the ball, and I feel pretty good about coverages, right, because that's what I studied the most. But, running schemes and the merits of a four-down, three-down versus, drop eight and blitz and some of those things, while I faced all that stuff and I was familiar about how you attack its weaknesses, the ranking comes down. So you gotta make sure, don't feel so emboldened about those things that you don't. Now, here's one thing I will say. Take the time to educate yourself. One of the things that I did as coordinators is I did spend time with Elisa Tuiaki. And by the way, all the coaches and coordinators were gracious enough when I requested to become a better broadcaster and to provide a better broadcast for Cougar Nation out there. I knew that becoming more educated was part of that. So, Elisa Tuiaki would spend a couple hours with me every summer. So what Aaron Roderick, Coach Grimes did before he left, Preston Hadley, obviously a former teammate of mine, but we would sit down and watch film a couple times a summer so I could better understand and explain to the players. But as frustrated as you may be with things on the surface, make sure you've got that foundational knowledge before you become utterly critical. And if things aren't going your way, try and understand, meaning as a fan, right? If you're super frustrated by something, maybe try and understand the fundamentals of that scheme rather than just critiquing it for critique's sake. And by the way, I'm not saying that coaches are infallible, and I'm not saying that they're not deserving of critique, but it's just so much more productive. And this is what I learned as a broadcaster. It's so much more productive if you can give the why behind or some merit or foundational principles rather than just, taking shots.
Riley Nelson, former, now retired, media member here on your Cougar Sports Insider Radio Network, ESPN 960. Unless somehow ESPN 960 convinces him to show up for a pregame tailgate event, which I may do. But Riley, who do you have as far as the candidates to replace you? I think everyone can agree that more often than not, they want to hear from a quarterback. We worship quarterbacks. We believe in quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are always more credible when discussing quarterback play and offensive strategy, as you pointed out, with your kind of hierarchy and of core competencies and what you feel capable of speaking eloquently and credibly to. But what about your replacement? Who do you got?
Well, yeah, and again, this is with all bias intended, right? The other thing about a quarterback is they have to know what everybody on the offense is doing. And then while, I said I feel more comfortable with coverages than fronts, but guess what? I still had to know plenty about fronts and plenty about coverages. So that's why quarterbacks tend to be the default. And then they also come with a name, right? Like, yeah. Everybody can name.
Let's
name a quarterback. They can't always do the right guard.
Yeah, let's talk about this real quick. So from top to bottom, which positions typically know the most football? Collectively, the holistic football approach from a strategy standpoint, personnel standpoint, why and when things happen in a game. Quarterbacks, centers, right, more often than not. Defensively.
And then from there, depending on the defense,
yeah,
it's either going to be one of the safeties or one of the middle linebackers.
Yeah, Mike,
and
Free.
Yep, exactly. But defenses are going to be – defenses have to be a little bit more fluid because sometimes you have a middle linebacker that is just like see ball, get ball, right? And you don't want that dude thinking a bunch pre-snap. You want that dude like a caged animal ready to be let out. So you'll shift that to free safety, and you hope you get like a type like an Ed Reed. But sometimes you got a safety where it's like, look, this dude just needs to be able to get depth. He's a freak athlete.
Yeah.
Let him get depth, play instinctually. We don't want him to do it, in which case you hope you got like a Fred Warner at that middle linebacker position that you can shift that to. And then that guy can be the quarterback of the defense. And then from there, you kind of got everybody in the middle to the least, the bottom of it. Corners are the very bottom, because now it's a little bit different, at least in the systems that we played with under Mendenhall, Criddle, because, you know, the corners had to be, they had to know their stuff. But you look at guys like
me. You see him backpedal there? He's backpedaling like a cornerback right there. He's getting out. He's bailing. Bailing on that one. Oh, shoot, I'm talking to a corner. Remember, I grew up a corner, played safety in JUCO. They moved me to corner at BYU because we didn't have any corners. So, but
hey,
I did start at free safety versus Wyoming before our backup cornerback got beat like on two verticals, and then they're like, "All right, Kellen Fowler in at free safety, Ben back at corner." and no offense to my backup.
That's what I'm saying. And the corner probably number one vertical, and his sole responsibility was carry number one vertical. In other words, don't get beat deep, right?
So, yeah.
And he couldn't do that two plays in a row. No, yeah. Corners know the least, because especially in man-based systems, right? Like, it's like, there's your guy. And they'll know everything about that guy, maybe how he sets up his route tree, and they're very good specific on that guy, but they don't got to worry about the other 21 players on the field. And then conversely, the cornerback's counterpart on the offensive side is wide receiver. Now, some wide receivers are very much like, I think about Larry Fitzgerald,
yeah,
or Anquan Boldins, right? Like those guys. But, and unfortunately, this is just the way that it works, because we all have to find ways to survive on the field. The more athletically gifted you are, typically, it's rare that you find someone who is an utter athletic freak that also, is a true student of the game or master of the game. But just the nature of those guys' positions, think about it. Well, I'll say this. The closer you are to the ball, the more you have to know everything that's going on around it. The further away you are to the ball in any given pre-snap formation, the less is required. And so that's kind of how the rank and file goes out as far as who is required or what positions typically have the most comprehensive football knowledge versus the most position-specific.
So let's go through the list of former quarterbacks, okay? John Beck, Steve Young, Jake Heaps, Tanner Mangum, Christian Stewart. I'm just kind of randomly putting these out there. Blaine Fowler, Ty Detmer, Max Hall, Mark Wilson, Robbie Bosco, Brandon Doman, Gary Scheide, Gifford Nielsen, Steve Lindsley, Bob Jensen, Sean Covey, John Walsh, Kevin Federick, Jim McMahon, James Lark. Who else would be a candidate amongst the former quarterbacks, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I'm not as active on Twitter as I should be, but they, you know, today it's all about engagement. And it's all about bringing that followership. So I don't know who, it's probably Jim McMahon right now, but I don't know if we can disrupt Jim's golf game at this point in his life and career to ever get him to give the game. But like, who's the most active or like productive, you know, Twitter former BYU quarterback? I know for sure it's not me, but I couldn't tell you who it is.
Yeah. This is who I would say right now. Who would benefit from having a larger platform to Cougar Nation?
Jonathan Tavernari, BYU football color analyst.
Yeah. I would love Jonathan Tavernari. look, I would say those that I would target that could fly in maybe for a weekend, possibly on Saturday. Because some of these guys, their jobs may not allow them to. So I wonder, would Ty Detmer be able to come in? Would Max Hall be able to come in on a Saturday after working all week, you know, coaching football?
Both those dudes. So a couple challenges there. And, of course, you know, you land a Ty Detmer, you'll probably make exclusions, and who knows.
Maybe Friday Night Lights, right? I mean, it's like that's going to be.
They both coach.
Yep.
Yeah, they both coach, so that's going to be a thing. And BYU, and I learned this myself, they do not, because how many road game 8:30 kicks, you know, I probably had a half a dozen of those, and it was killing me. I was like, guys, there are three flights that get me to the stadium well before I'm supposed to go on air. Let me do same day travel, and they've learned this by experience, right? BYU broadcasts and BYU media has over the time. Like, same day travel is not even a starter. You always have to go the day before so that, you know, you're not left not doing your job. But
sure,
you know that if you land a name like Ty Detmer, and maybe, you know, Tom can talk to one of the boosters that's got a plane and be like, hey man, can we borrow this 12 times a year in the fall? and we know what happens for the brethren, right?
Oh,
on that
man.
Higher scale, there's got to be someone in the
All right. We're moving on from those guys. Let's go further. Brandon Dolman. He's local. You know, he's a former BYU great. He could do this. He's great in front of the fans and media. He was fantastic as a quarterback coach, and some people, you know, will criticize him as a offense coordinator. Thought he did some really nice things as an OC. Brandon Dolman, would he be a great target?
Brandon'd be great, and I know his family is at the point where it's probably, I believe, right? His son that played for Sky Ridge was a senior.
Yeah, he was a cornerback senior. Yeah.
Yeah. Senior this last year, right?
Yeah, and most of his kids are a little older, too, yeah.
Right, and I know he's got, I think, one more boy. I think the rest are girls. He's got the two boys, and then he's got one more. Anyway, girls. But they are older, so it's more manageable. It's not like me that I was with my wife with, you know, young kids every weekend, so they can be a little bit more involved in things like that. Brandon would be great. Brandon is a great speaker. The one thing with him is... as far as his ecclesiastical responsibilities, I've run into him. I've kept close with him. I know he's got a pretty demanding thing on that end, and I also know that he's a business owner who runs and owns his own business. So when we talk about other demands of life, that might be. But I think Cougar Nation and BYU would be very lucky to get him. But a little just kind of knowing his life circumstance, I know that he's not laying around with a bunch of free time in the fall. I can tell you that.
Yep. Well, look, like I said, you can bring back one of the old schools. Shoot, Ryan Hancock, he hops onto our show a lot. I just think the number one priority most likely is to get a quarterback. That's just how it is. And then if you look at other football players, guys like Nate Mickle, people have reached out to me, Louis Lapuaho, Moose Bingham, Isaiah Kafusi, Michael Elisa, Cameron Jensen, Jake Caressa, Hans Olsen, Brian Logan, David Nixon, Johnny Linehan, Bronze Kafusi, Kyle Van Noy, Mitch Matthews, Austin Colley, Dennis Pitta, possibly, Luke Staley, Brady Papinga, Brian Keel. Those are the guys that have been mentioned to me. Anybody stand out to you from that list?
Well, yeah, a lot of them do. Knowing them personally, I think some would be better than others. So here's a couple of things. Like, obviously, I'm very long. When you have me on your show, you're like, how did this dude ever survive in radio where he gets 8 seconds to talk between plays, right? you got to be able to do that. And I know some of those guys, well, two things have to happen. A, your mind has to be active enough that you're coming up with meaningful contributions to the broadcast before that, and then when you get that very short window, you have to be able to articulate it in that. And so some of the guys that you stay in there, I think, would be up for that challenge. Others, I don't think would be. But I don't know. How do you guys feel about Greg Olsen taking over the job for Fox?
How did I feel about it? I thought, I mean, I like him.
I was going to say. So we're sitting here thinking that, like, oh, it's got to be a quarterback. But,
sure.
Honestly, dude, I think he's better than Troy. I mean, Troy, all respect to Troy. We've been listening to him for years, and he's over on ESPN with Monday Night now. But, like, Greg Olsen puts in the work, and he's a great listen. So all of those non-quarterbacks, now from that name, Ben, you can do this because you're used to it, and you can weather the controversy, and somehow you've been able to maintain friends with all of us while you play these games and do rankings and all that stuff, and more credit to you.
I let the fans decide them now.
Yeah, I was going to say, all the out of that list of 24 names, I golf or play pickup basketball, or, like, I still want to be invited to and a part of those guys' lives, so I'm not going to pick a name out of the list for fear of pissing the rest of them off. Lord knows that us former football players, our egos can be fragile sometimes, and so we don't want to. You know, I'm not gonna give you a name that you're asking me for, but
Brandon Ogletree. Brandon Ogletree. Let's do. He used to do the Ogletree football. That could be a good one.
Yeah, there we go.
And that dude's
people
a competitor.
People love that. Yep.
Yeah, he's
and Brandon,
a fire
super
one.
Smart middle linebacker.
Yep.
It would be whoever. Not just the logistics are what the logistics are, and everybody's got to kind of sort that out for themselves. But the reality that I'd say is, like, you got to be able to put in the work. As we're probably about time to wrap up our interview, here's my biggest lessons learned and what I would say to, you know, especially if it were a peer, if it's an older guy or one of the legends. Of course, I don't have anything to say to those guys, but if it's one for that group who I consider my close friends, here's what I'd say. I'd say a couple of things. First and foremost, be very, very what's the word, judicious with references to the good old days and the playing days. People care most. They are tuning in to listen to these Cougars this game day at this time, right? So be very, that's an easy trap for a lot of former player color commentators to fall into. Second, do not feel pressured to speak at every opening. Speak when you have something that is meaningful and contributes to the broadcast, which doesn't mean speak less, but rather means do the work to where you're coming in prepared enough to be able to contribute at every reasonable opportunity. That would be the second thing. And then the third thing would be is stay up. Even me, you know, I got done playing years ago and I had to meet with Roderick, and the trends have changed. The way they play offense is different. The way they play defense is different. And honestly, that's going to be one of the biggest things I missed, is I felt like I was still on the cutting edge of the evolution of the game because my role allowed me to gain access, and these coaches and players would spend time with me talking to me about what they're doing, why they're doing it, and all of those things. And that would be the final thing that I would say is don't assume just because you played that the game is the same. Rather, assume the game is different. Act like you're back a freshman at day one fall camp install with your pen and your pad ready, and learn what these guys are doing. And if you can do those things, then whoever takes the job next will be great.
My low-key favorite is I actually have a couple here. Let me just give you it before we go. I actually think Jake Heaps would do a good job. I know there's controversy in the two-headed monster era that you were a part of, but I actually think he'd do a good job. And he's been on sports radio before. He's ESPN Seattle. He's been coaching, doing kind of the personal training thing with Russell Wilson, I think, full-time. My other guy that I think would be awesome, and I think he's an amazing offensive mind, I don't know if he would do it, but Gary Croton. I think Gary would be awesome. That's my kind of low-key pick. Gary would knock it out of the park, I think.
No doubt to either of those, Ben. And those are your picks based on, if you were calling the shots, like, it's very clear that you would do it based, I care more above anything else that that the guy knows his ball and can articulate it and do it. But what's interesting, because this is the homer call and all that, is what do the fans want more? Maybe this is a poll your guys can do. Do they want more football knowledge, or do they want more dyed-in-the-wool, true blue, loyal, strong, and true BYU? Because the one thing with both those guys, obviously Jake played for three different schools, and Gary, just by nature of him being a coach, he coached at other places before and obviously coached at other places after. So BYU is part of their story, but it's not their whole story. And I'm realizing now as I say this, all this coming from the guy who was a Utah State transfer that's had the job the last 4 years. So, you know, however you weight that.
Love you, buddy. Thanks so much for hopping on today. We'll catch up with you again soon. I'm shedding a tear today due to your retirement, but can't wait to see you around the stadium and chatting with you and letting you enjoy it with your family. Thanks so much, brother.
Yep. Always a pleasure. Have a good weekend.
There you go, Riley Nelson. We're going to go to break. Coming up next, Jim Herman's going to tell us how, speaking of living in the past, we're going to talk about getting sacks. How can we get sacks again with this new defense? What does Jim Herman have to say about it? One of the sack masters of an era bygone. This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.